So we're going to finish up with Abraham tonight. And if you could go to Genesis 12, that's where we're going to look at some things. several places in the New Testament, in the Old Testament too, it talks about the promise or the promises to the fathers. The fathers refer to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was then renamed Israel. They're also referred to as patriarchs, Abraham being the patriarch of Israel, or the patriarch. It all started with him. And through the Bible, God refers to these fathers and has shown us, and that shows us their importance, how they affected the history of the world, really. From Genesis 11, 26 through 17:5, Abraham is referred to as Abram, which was his birth name. And from Genesis 17:5 on, he was renamed Abraham by God, which meant a father of a great multitude or a father of many nations. A nation referred not to a nation state, as we refer to them, but it referred to a clan or a tribe or a large extended family. So God named him Abraham, the father of a great multitude or the father of many nations, before he even had a child. So that was significant. And we know, of course, from Isaac, we got Jacob, and then from Jacob, we got the 12 patriarchs of Israel, the 12 tribes, and that was the nation of Israel. Abraham is mentioned throughout the Old Testament, and he's mentioned 35 times in the Gospels and 40 times in the New Testament. So, he is significant, as we've noted. He played a vital role in God's plan of redemption. So I want to go back and I want to look at a couple of the promises that God made to Abraham, promises and things, and see the parallels to what we have as sons of God. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And it goes on from there. So what we have here, when God first spoke to Abram, is a sevenfold blessing. Number one, make thee a great nation. Number two, I will bless thee. Number three, I will make thy name great. Number four, thou shalt be a blessing. Number five, I will bless them that bless thee. Six, I will curse them that curse thee, and seven, all the families of the earth will be blessed in thee. So, number one, make thee a great nation. The word nation is the word goi, G-O-I. If you've ever been around, when I was working in New York, I worked with a lot of Jewish guys, and they would refer to us that were not Jewish as goi, which they referred to it. It's also translated Gentile. It's the same word also translated nation or Gentile. In Greek, it's the word ethnos. These words generally mean a group of people considered as a unit with respect to origin, language, land, laws, culture, and government. Get that? It's a unit of people. And with respect to origin, well, Israel's origin was Abraham. The different Gentiles had different beginnings, right? They go all the way back to Adam, but from Noah on through his three sons. Language, land, laws, culture, and government. In the reference to Abraham, it is referring initially to his progeny, descendants, what we would call an extended family or a tribe or a clan. So, he would make thee a great nation. I want you to go. Now we're going to, well, we don't have to come back here. I'll just say them to you. But let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And verse 11. It says, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, or believing, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith or believing of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. For the promises that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of believing." So spiritually speaking, we are that great nation because we have believed in Jesus Christ. We're the fulfillment of that promise. And, you know, we're that great nation, that great people. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." So we're considered children of Abraham, not just those of Israel, not those that are just circumcised, but those that believe. So again, we are a part of that great nation. We are part of that legacy. Now, the greatness of what we are is the family of God, right? The body of Christ. But we became part of Abraham's nation, his tribe, his clan. Then the second promise was, "I will bless thee." God blessed Abraham. It said at the end of his life, in all things. He had children, he had servants, he had handmaids, he had herds, he had flocks, and he was rich in gold and silver. He had pretty much everything in the physical realm that a person could ask for. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So as much as Abraham was blessed, how much more are we blessed? A lot. How many blessings are all spiritual blessings? It says that we're seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We have the guarantee of eternal life. So as much as Abraham was blessed with all those things, and, you know, it was a lot, and, you know, God gave him children and children's children's children all down the line so that they became millions. Now there are billions because of all those that believe. And we are all blessed. The third thing he said is, I will make thy name great. Okay. So, and we know that Abraham was known by people. Let's go to 1 John. So Abraham, his name was great. And not only was it great in his own lifetime, but down through the ages, he was remembered as a great man. He was remembered by his family, by his descendants, and even by their enemies. 1 John chapter 3, it says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So how great is our name? That we are sons of God. Abraham was never called. The best he could get at the time that he lived was he was called a friend of God. But we are called sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Ephesians and verse 19. It says, Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So, how about that? Abraham was a stranger. He was a foreigner in the land that God gave him. He wandered. He never stayed in one place permanently. You know, he'd go to Beersheba, and then he'd go to another place, and then back again. And then when there was a famine, he went to Egypt, and then he came back, and then there was another problem. He went up into the land of the Philistines by Abimelech. Then he came back. He moved around quite a bit. And he was a stranger. He was a sojourner in the land. But it says that we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And let's go to Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Romans, verse 15. It says, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. How about that? You know, Abraham could never do that. He could never call God his father. He could never use that endearment, that term of endearment, Abba. He could call him God Almighty. He could call him Lord, but never Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if heirs, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Abraham had an inheritance on earth, but he did look toward one in the future. But we have it guaranteed to us. And we know what it is. We are sons of God. We can go to God and call him our Father. And we have proof that we're sons. We have that spirit, which is our proof, our witness that we are sons. The next thing it says, the fourth blessing was, Thou shalt be a blessing. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Abraham was a blessing. When people were good to him, you know, God blessed those people. And he was a blessing, generally speaking. He was a blessing to Lot. He was a blessing to his wife and to his servants. In chapter 2, verse 15, it says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So we are blessings. We are lights in the world when we hold forth the word, when we stand upon the word. We're a blessing, even more than Abraham. You know, he wasn't commanded to, he was a prophet, it says, but he didn't go out and evangelize or proselytize. He was just a blessing to people. We are a blessing to the world. We're a blessing to everyone we're around as we shine, as we stand on God's word. Number 5, I will bless them that bless you. Okay, that's an interesting one. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And verse 13. This is a section about marriage. And I thought about this. Verse 13, it says, and the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if ye be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. So, you know, if somebody is an unbelieving husband or wife, and yet they are pleased to stay with that believing husband or wife, and they take care of them, they're blessed. They're blessed. They don't even know it. They're sanctified, and the children are made holy. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. It says, recompense, I guess I could have put this with thou shalt be a blessing. But anyway, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I truly believe that when people bless us, take care of us, are honest with us, that God blesses them. I believe that. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 get to the next one. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So, again, we're a blessing, and God blesses those that bless us, and it's great. The sixth one is, I will curse them that curse thee. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. You You know, there's nothing in the New Testament, you know, we talk about blessings. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, there's a whole section on blessings and cursings. You know, it says, if you do this, you're going to get blessed. And if you do this, you're going to be blessed. And if you don't do this, this is the curse that you're going to receive. In the New Testament, for the believer, it says lots of things about blessings. It says nothing whatsoever about cursings. But let's read this. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Okay, here it's talking about us as the body of Christ. You know, it's not an individual. The word ye here in 16th century English is the plural. And it's ye are the temple of God. We collectively are the temple of God. And any man that defile the temple, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So, you know, it's not that we're to take revenge or we're not to take it out on somebody else, but it says that God will take it out on them. Let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is kind of similar to what he said to Nicodemus, you know, when he came to him at night. He said, you have to be born again. Here he says, you have to be converted and become like a child. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. So you see that we have some very similar promises, and in some cases, the promises that we have exceed what Abraham had. Number 7, it says, all the nations of the earth will be blessed in thee. This is a promise to Abraham, but it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and we are the result. So let's go to 1 Timothy again, chapter 2. 1 Timothy, I went too far. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. We read that. Verse 4. Well, let's read verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Talked about leading a quiet and peaceable life. And it says, who, referring to God our Savior, will have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus Christ gave his life for all. The promised seed to Abraham was Jesus Christ. And that's how God fulfilled that promise that all the nations of the earth would be blessed in Abraham. Let's go back to John chapter 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. This is where he went and he talked to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. You know, and he goes through the whole thing about God is spirit and must worship him in spirit and truth. And she tells him about, he says, tells her about her 7 husbands and how they died. And she gets amazed and she tells the town and the people come back. And it says in verse 39, many of the Samaritans of the city on him believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, verse 40, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And he said unto the woman, now we believe, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So, the Savior of the world. All the nations of the earth were blessed in Abraham, and we're a result of that, because we got saved, we got born again, we got made sons of God. So we see in this initial blessing from God to Abraham that we receive many similar or the same great benefits. As a matter of fact, we have more than Abraham. He never was a son. He never had eternal life or spirit within. Yet God promised Abraham a seed who would be the promised one, and we are the result of that promise. In Genesis 15:1, it says, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That was another great promise to Abraham. Today we are more than conquerors, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God also says that he never lets us get into something where there's not a way to escape. God made a covenant with Abraham and sealed it with the sign of circumcision. God has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. God made Abraham a promise of land, of the promised land. That was great. We have the promise of eternal life and to be ever with the Lord, wherever he happens to be, whether heaven or in the new heaven and earth, we'll be with him. To Abraham, it was accounted that he was righteous because he believed. We believe and we are made right, the righteousness of God, and we are sanctified. It's a big difference. We are the righteousness of God. So because of what God did with Abraham, it helped bring the Christ. And because of all that God did through Christ, we have the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in you, or Christ in us. All the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. So, now I want you to go to Genesis 20. Genesis 20. So what are we going to do now? Take a vacation. No. Next thing we're going to start looking at is prayer. And over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of need for prayer. Prayer is one of the most important things in our lives. Prayer is our lever of power, our leverage in life to deal with situations. We have the ability and the opportunity to go directly to God face to face and make requests according to his word. So in Genesis chapter 20, I wanted to start here and go back to Abraham because this is a very interesting section. It says in verse 20, and Abraham, verse 1, journeyed from thence toward the country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and journeyed in Gerar. Gerar would be where the Philistines lived later on. And Abraham said of his wife, of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. And we went through this last week or the week before, I can't remember. And we know that Sarah at this point in time was 90 years old. And yet this king was attracted to her and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. Well, Abimelech didn't have spirit, right? So God had to come to him some way. He would come to him, you know, by some manifestation of him, himself. Either he could send an angel or a dream, or he could be some other way. Send him a vision. So God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. You know, you're committing adultery here. You took a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he, not unto me, she is my sister. And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. He said, you know, I didn't know what's going on. She said she was his sister. He said, she said, he's my brother. He said, she's my sister. So I thought I was clear. I had an open door. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore, verse 7, now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Okay, this is the first usage of the word prophet, but it's also the first usage of the word pray in the English Bible. It's the first place where God talks about somebody praying for somebody else. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning and called his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. Basically saying, you know, you lied to me. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is the kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. So this apparently was standard operation for Abraham and Sarah. She was a very, very beautiful woman, and Abraham was afraid that they would kill him to take his wife. So he asked her to say that she was his sister, which was true. It wasn't a lie. Just didn't say everything. So It came to pass when God caused me to wander his brother, at every place whither you shall come, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep, verse 14, and oxen, and men servants, and women servants, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah, his wife. So he enriched Abraham. So, pretty cool. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech. So here, for the first time in the Bible, someone prays for someone else who needs healing, and he is healed. But it was according to the word of God. It was according to what God told Abraham to do. He didn't just make up a prayer. He didn't just decide on his own to pray. It was what God told him to do. And this is the first instance of prayer. So this will be our next subject of study, prayer. We will see what God says about prayer, the different kinds of prayer, and we will look at different great prayers in the Bible. We'll see how men prayed in different situations, and women. And we'll see how that brought things to pass in their lives. Prayer is an amazing and critical part of our lives. And I don't think we give it enough time. I don't think we can all get better. Whether you're really great at praying or not, we can all get better. We can all work more at it to be more consistent, more faithful, more confident in our prayers. So Jesus Christ said to the apostles, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive them. You know, now he was talking to them, and it was in the context of, you know, what God tells you to pray for, you can pray for, and when you believe, it'll come to pass. So we're going to look at prayer. We're going to do a comprehensive study. We may not look at every single thing about prayer in the Bible, but we're going to look at a lot, and a comprehensive means a detailed and pretty wide study. We're not just going to study prayers of supplication. Supplication would be what? Specific requests. We're not going to just look at prayers of intercession, which is where we pray for somebody else. But we're going to look at all kinds of prayers. There's prayers of thanksgiving. There's prayers of praise. There's prayers just generally to God, you know, talking to him, having a conversation, and things like that. So that's what we're going to do in the near future. And it'll take us a while because there's something about prayer in almost every book of the Bible, I think. So it'll be a fun thing to look at. And I think it will bless people to really get a better understanding of this subject. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Okay? So God bless you all, and I'll pray. Father God, we thank you for loving us, for the opportunity for us to open your word and see the greatness of it, to see the greatness of Abraham and what a great man he was and the great promises that you gave unto him. And we just thank you, Father, as we continue to do our study nights, that we can just have a great time looking at your word and seeing how you answer prayers and how you work in people's lives to pray for certain things and how you want us to pray. So we thank you for that, God, and we thank you that we can just learn and be better at all we do to serve you and love you and walk for you. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.